Good morning. I am so glad that you are here with us today. We have a couple of folks who are new to us today. So as you center around the room, make sure and say hi to faces that you're not as familiar with. It is Mother's Day. It is the sixth Sunday of the season of Easter. And it is just a couple of weeks away from Memorial Day, Christmas? No, not that quite that close. Summer, that's what I was thinking about. Summer. So we're excited that this is a heavy and busy season. I know lots of folks have graduations to attend to. I just got back from a spring wedding in Arkansas with my niece, which was absolutely delightful. We have six great nieces and nephews under the age of nine. So 9 to 2, and I was the kid wrangler for part of the time and loved it immensely. So whatever family you have with you today or whoever you call on your Sundays when you visit with folks, please tell them St. Mark's loves you too, all right? We're just talking about love today. So welcome. If you'd like to check in online on Facebook or share something on one of your social medias as you find something in the service that uplifts you, please feel free to do that. We love to connect with others. For those of you who are watching online, including my mother, hello, happy Mother's Day. So anyone who is with us in whatever way, we welcome you. If you would please stand as you're able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you hold together all things in heaven and on earth. In your great mercy, receive the prayers of all your children and give to all the world the spirit of your truth and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from Acts. Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely spiritual you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God, what therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, He who is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor he is served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all peoples to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would find him to live, so that they would search for God and perhaps fumble about for him and find him, though he is indeed, he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we too are his offspring.' Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think about the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, Now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. The word of the Lord.
Let the sound of praise be heard. Our God, you peoples, let the sound of praise be heard. Bless our God, you peoples, let the sound of praise be heard. Our God has kept us among the living, not allowed our feet to slip. Bless our God, you peoples, let the sound of praise be heard. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us just as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You lead heavy burdens upon our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us out into a place of refreshment. I will enter your house with burnt offerings and will pay you my vows, those that I promised with my lips and spoke with my mouth when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of rams. I will give you oxen and goats. Bless our God, you peoples, let the sound of praise be heard. Come and listen, all you who believe, and I will tell you what God has done for me. I called out to God with my mouth and praised the Lord with my tongue. If I had cherished evil in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me. But in truth, God has heard me and has attended to the sound of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer, nor withheld unfailing love from me. Bless our God, you people, let the sound of praise be heard.
A reading from 1 Peter. Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. But in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Maintain a good consciousness so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer doing what is good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered sins once for all, the righteousness for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, but God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight lives, were saved through water. And baptism, which is prefigured now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good consciousness. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor you, or nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be with you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am with God, and that I am in God, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord. As you are seated, I'm going to ask the kids to come up just for a little bit. Over here. Whoops. There you go. It's all right, y'all can come up. Hello. Hey, buddy, how are you today? Hi, Emma. Hello, how are you guys today?
Good.
Everybody good? Yeah, tell me what today is.
Sunday.
It's what?
The weekend.
It's the weekend. We're in the middle of the weekend. That's right. This is the weekend. What is the weekend? It's Saturday and Sunday. And Saturday and Sunday, we don't go to school, right? What do y'all do usually on Saturday and Sunday? What do you do on Saturday? Do you play sports? Yeah? Do you go and visit people? Sometimes you play sports? Do you do stuff with your family on Saturdays? Anybody go to the park?
Me.
You went to the park? Did you go by yourself or did you go with somebody else? You went with somebody else. Okay, I'm glad. All right, so I'm going to ask you a question. Somebody said today was something else. What did you say? It's Mother's Day. That's right. It is Mother's Day. I snuck a Mother's Day card in my mom's suitcase when I was with her in Arkansas so that she would find it today. And our son, Shelby, texted us at 6:30 in the morning. You heard that right. Our son, who knows us, texted us at 6:32 in the morning to tell us Happy Mother's Day, which we did not receive until later, but I heard the ding. Oh, my goodness. So have you told your mothers Happy Mother's Day yet? Have you said that to them? Yeah? If you haven't yet, you can. Let's all go, Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day!
Yay! All right. Oh, he's going to go give Mom a hug. You know, Mother's Day is kind of hard sometimes. Because not everybody is a mother, and not everybody gets to be a mother in the way that other mothers become mothers. And sometimes mothers have lost their kids, they've died, and they're kind of sad on Mother's Day. And some kids who lost their moms are also sad. I'm very lucky I still have my mom, and she means so much to me. Does y'all's mom mean a lot to you too? Dads do too, we're not talking about dads. So what can we do this week to show our moms how much we love them? Is there something special? Go to what?
I'm going to a scream fair.
You're going to a scream fair?
A street fair.
I thought he said a scream fest, and I was like, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Okay, so you're going to a street fest. That'll be fun. Are you guys doing anything special for Mother's Day?
Festival.
A A street festival. Thank you. Do you know, is it, did you guys, are you going to make her brownies or cupcakes? Anyone going to bake for their mother?
I'm going to make cupcakes.
You're going to make, you're going to your grandparents' house. What, grandma? That's cool. You went to Nifty 50s?
Yeah. I'm going to make cupcakes.
You're going to make cupcakes for your mother? Oh, what'd you make for breakfast?
A heart pancake.
A heart pancake. That's awesome. Yeah.
It's strawberries.
There you go. I know that Mother's Day is about one thing. It's about love. What does love mean? Anybody know?
Love you.
I love you too, but what does love mean? Do you have a clue?
I have a clue.
You have a clue?
Uh-huh.
All right. What is love like?
Like we hug them.
If you love somebody, you hug them? That's a good idea. How about you guys? What is some, you kiss them? Yeah? You guys, what do you think might be something you could do to show somebody you love them? Something that, did you break it and now you're repairing it and giving it to her for Mother's Day? No, okay, but give them something that broke. So maybe they lost something or broke it and so you replace it? Is that what you're saying?
No.
No, okay. I'm not quite sure, but you guys get to figure it out. It's sort of Morse code today. Anyway, I want you dads to know that mothers and fathers love us so much. But not all mothers and fathers are really great at it. How about we sit still? Okay. And sometimes we get kind of frustrated with our parents. But you know what? No matter what, they love us. And I want you guys to say, I love you many times today to your mom and to your dad and to your siblings and to Pastor Karen and to Miss Stephanie and Mr. Andrew and all the people who are here, because today is about love. And we're going to talk a little bit more about love in just a few minutes. But I want us to pray together. Can y'all put your hands together and repeat after PK, all right?
Dear God,
we love you.
We love you.
And we love Jesus.
And
we love the Holy Spirit. And thank you for all the people you've given us to love. Thank you.
Amen.
All right. I love you guys. Okay? Y'all head back. Remember, there's busy bags over there if somebody needs something. We do not have Sunday school teachers for today. So we're going to be in church together. All right. That chair did not want to move. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, thank you for the ways that you have loved us. Thank you for the word that you gave. Bless its hearing today, but especially, God, bless its doing in the days and weeks and months to come. Amen. When I was growing up, I didn't know a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. I don't know why that was, but I kind of have a guess. In West Texas, I would go with my friends to their Southern Baptist or their conservative or Pentecostal churches. And particularly the Southern Baptist churches, they would talk about God in different ways than I was used to. And so in these Southern Baptist churches, they would do what I call the three-syllable Jesus. And so they would say, "We love you, Jesus." That was the way that they said it. We love you, Jesus. And when they would talk about Jesus, it would get louder and louder, and Jesus became the most important thing that they would say during worship. It sounded a little bit to me like a used car salesman at times. Here's the Honda you want to drive. Or here's the Xfinity you can't afford, but you need to buy anyway. When I went to Pentecostal or Holy Roller kind of churches, they would talk about being slain in the Spirit. And they would talk about the Holy Spirit as this entity that would enter into their body, and they would quake on the floor, they would speak in tongues, and the Holy Spirit would just become a fire inside of them that they could not extinguish. Well, I knew in my church, my dad's United Methodist Church, that he talked about God. And when he talked about God, it was just like, God. He didn't do God. He didn't lift his voice and say, God. He just talked about God. And so when you hear people talk about the Trinity as three persons, which I very much have issues with, I thought the Baptists had Jesus, because we really talked about Jesus on Christmas and Easter, right? I mean, those were big Jesus days. But we didn't talk about the Holy Spirit much. And one of the things that I wonder about is, were we afraid in some of those mainline denominations to try to talk about the Holy Spirit too much, because we didn't want to scare people off, because they knew things in the South about how the Holy Spirit would slay people in the Spirit, or people would say, the Holy Spirit be with you, be healed, and the Spirit would heal someone. Now, I went to one of those healings one time, and I had a friend who invited me to go, and we're sitting there, and this woman walks up on crutches, and she goes to the front table, or to the front elevated platform, and they help her up the steps, and she gets there, and the preacher, who is very animated in the way he talks, in the way that he was proclaiming the power of the Holy Spirit, would heal anyone who had the belief that that healing could happen. And this woman walked towards the pastor, and he held out his hand, and he put his other hand on her hand, and he said, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are healed. Drop your crutches. She held on for him for just a few seconds, and I thought, well, that didn't work. And then she dropped her crutches, and she started walking. And she was walking normally. And I thought, wow, that is so powerful. That is the most powerful thing I've ever seen. And the friend who invited me, you know, sort of whispered over, she was healed 3 months ago too. She's just, you know, she's a steady. She's a regular. And I thought, well, if she's healed every 3 months, what? It's not working. Or maybe it was just play acting. Getting somebody up there to appear to be healed so that others would do it. So the Holy Spirit at many times in my life has kind of scared me a little bit, right? I've had moments in my life when I truly felt like God was speaking to me, that I could hear God's voice. And never once did I think, okay, is that God the Creator speaking? Is that Jesus whispering in my ear? Is that the Holy Spirit? I just knew that I heard a voice. One of those times was after a very, very bad car wreck where I had flipped down a road 7 times and was hanging upside down. And I felt that I was not alone in the car. And all of a sudden, I just heard this voice. You're okay. Help's coming. And I felt like arms come around me as I was hanging upside down. It's the closest thing that I've ever experienced to anything sort of supernatural or otherworldly. And I believe wholeheartedly that I was not alone in that car, that God was with me in the way God is in any way that we experience God. Sometimes that's through the words of Jesus. And sometimes that's through the feeling and the wind and the spirit of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that is God's voice just telling you it's going to be all right. So for me, that experience kind of changed how I understood the Holy Spirit. That was 35 years ago. And still, I believe the Holy Spirit was with me in that car. I believe the Holy Spirit comes with us and is within us all the time. Jesus, in this text, which is a part of the farewell discourse. He's teaching his disciples and all his followers. He's leaving. And so he's leaving these master teacher lessons for them behind. And so what he's saying is, when I leave, you're not going to be alone, because God is going to send an advocate. God is going to send a guide. God is going to send a protector. And that guide, protector is going to be the Holy Spirit. Now, let's talk just for a minute about the Holy Spirit and how it is used. In the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, the word in Hebrew for spirit is ruach. And they do sort of like Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, they give it a little humph, a little extra. It is ruach. And it is spoken with breath coming out. Ruach. That is the spirit. This Holy Spirit is talked about 84 times in the Hebrew Bible. That's a lot of times to use the same word that is not God. 84 times. And 75 of those times, the Holy Spirit is feminine. 75 out of 84 times that the Holy Spirit is talked about in the Hebrew Bible, the word that is used to describe that spirit is feminine. Now, there are some people who struggle with any kind of feminine language for God. I do not. Often when I baptize or bless somebody, I will say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, mother of us all. It's important language for me. It's important language for a lot of folks. When they think about the experience they had with their father, it's painful. For some, it is so painful they cannot imagine a moment when they will call God Father. Maybe someday healing and hope and reconciliation will allow them to use that language more comfortably. I struggle sometimes with the text and with some of the prayers of the church that only use Father. You may have noticed that there are places in the service that I have changed Father in some of the little responses to God or Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. It's not to deny the reality of the Trinity. It's to try to expand the language in the way that we know God. Jesus was certainly a man, right? The Holy Spirit, through all of its references in the Old Testament and even into the New Testament, feels definitely feminine. The breath of God as feminine. God, God's self, I don't know. I don't think there's gender. This may blow some of your minds, but I think one of the best pronouns for the Trinity is they. They came to us. They are part of us. They love us. They protect us. Maybe stepping on a few toes, push you a little bit, but let me think about this. In a world in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament was being written, everything was done by men. All the disciples that we know are men, although we know from extra readings, extra canonical texts, that they were supported by women who went with them all the time. There were women who were part of that disciple group. Mary Magdalene was a disciple in every way she possibly could be, except they don't describe her that way. She is the first proclaimer of the good news as she proclaims the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Last week I posted something on my Facebook page. It was not a controversial subject. I posted something supporting women clergy and talking about the fact that language in some churches has become more and more complex. And this man I do not know, I post public often, this man I do not know came at me and said in his comment, "You are not a pastor. Anyone who believes you to be a pastor is doomed. They are going to hell because they follow someone who is blasphemous against God. And you cannot lead a flock as a woman. And so I am very sorry for this, but you are all destined for hell because you called me." Is that okay with you? No, Hopefully it's okay I'm here. I disagree with him wholeheartedly, obviously. You are not going to hell. I will lead you the right way, okay? I'm doing every thing I can to lead you that way. But his concept was so closed-minded, right? He saw a woman posting about supporting other women clergy and felt like, I've got to go say something because I'm the man who knows the answer. And so I'm just going to go say, text here, text here, text here from the Bible, all say women cannot be preachers. And I sort of went back and forth with him for a little bit. My niece, Jordan, sent me a text message. She said, do I need to come after this guy? He's really being rude. And I was like, no, I'm a big girl, I'd take it. He posted a few more times in response to other comments and continue his, that women cannot be clergy and that anyone who follows him is going to hell. And I thought, I'm just going to have this moment right now where I am going to imagine his mind exploding. And so I highlighted his name on the comment, and I said, not only am I a woman pastor, I'm a lesbian. Now, in my mind, I saw, boom, and his head was gone, and his headless body falls to the ground. And I'm standing there going, that was awesome. Because sometimes you just have to say the truth, right? Sometimes you just have to say, I don't believe that all the images of God have to be masculine. I do not believe that all the images of love have to be feminine. What I believe is that we have gotten so caught up in this binary that we just can't acknowledge that there are other ways of being, both as humans and as the divine. And so when I talk about God as mother, there are texts in the New Testament and in the Old Testament where they talk about God as a mother hen looking after her brood. What an amazing image. So on this Mother's Day, which is, as I told the kids, a very complicated day, for women who have lost children, for women who could not bear children, for trans women who struggle with any possibility of understanding motherhood and possibly even fatherhood, for people who have chosen not to have kids and people who could not have kids, for people who adopt and people think they're not their real child. There are so many expectations and baggage that gets placed on mothers. I struggle even talking about it sometimes. Cindy and I were blessed 27 years ago to adopt a little boy named Egid Garkin Vladimirovich in Ekaterinburg, Russia. He was 9 months old, and he had been left at 9 hours old and deserted in the hospital by his birth mother. He has blessed our lives in ways that I would never, ever have even imagined. He blessed us this morning at 6:30 by remembering it was Mother's Day. Being a mother changed my life. I never wanted to have a natural child. I never wanted to give birth. Neither did Cindy, and that was our business. We adopted a child, and he's as much of ours as anyone who had their child by birth. Motherhood is complicated. And if we use the prioritized male language that is in the Bible, that men are the head of the house, men have to make the decisions, men are the ones who ought to control the TV remote on Sunday afternoons, we get caught up in language that just doesn't work for a lot of folks. This text is about love. So whoever and however you love, whether that is by parenting or aunting or uncling or just being a good neighbor or doing something for your nieces and your nephews or being there for your parents as they age, all of this matters because it is wrapped in love. And I'll say what I've said before. If it is not about love, it is not about God. God loves us. Jesus promises that. God will continue to love us, and we are called to love because of it. So on this complicated day where we talked about Mother's Day and I blew your mind to talk about the Holy Spirit as a woman, can we just agree? Love has no bounds. Love has no bounds in a world where we see hatred and discontent and we see evil and we see crimes and we see violence. Love is one of the answers if we just love people and take care of them. If we nurture and love the people around us as God loves us. As Jesus promised, God sent Ruach, the Spirit of God, and she is with us always. Amen. Join me together in the faith that we proclaim. I believe in God, the Creator Almighty, one who's heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Creator, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Trusting in the power of Christ's resurrection to heal and redeem our broken world, let us pray for the needs of all creation. God of new life, you call us through the waters of baptism to be in a relationship with you and one another. Guide the church and its leaders to proclaim Christ's righteousness throughout the world. Merciful God, you create the world and all that is in it. Shelter budding plants and young animals, provide unpolluted habitats with clean water, and raise up stewards for the environment. Merciful God, you set civil servants in places where we live. Instill truth and equity among judges and lawyers, gentleness and courage among first responders, and peace among the leaders of towns and nations. Merciful God, you provide comfort in times of trouble. Heal those who are sick, shelter any who are unhoused, feed those undernourished, and accompany and console all who are lonely, bereaved, anxious, or ill, especially Dolores, Francis, Kathy Liberito, Ed, Nancy, Annie, Bobby, Jessica, Mary, Frank, Larry, Rose, and Michael. Merciful God, you are love and you are desire that we love one another. As a mother hen cares for her chicks, bless all who provide motherly care in our lives and inspire us to care for one another. Merciful God, God of new life, your steadfast love endures forever. Inspire us by the example of the faithful departed who clung to your promises of life, forgiveness of sins, and salvation. Merciful God, God of resurrection power, use us and these prayers to proclaim the good news of new life to all the world, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior.
Add one name to that list. We just got a text message from my mother that her best friend, Janet, passed away yesterday afternoon. She had been ill for a little while and peacefully with her daughter and others in the room with her. So please lift up all who love Janet, especially my mom, who is taking this really hard. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share signs of peace with one another. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
All right, guess what time it is? Yes, I know. I think he's gained 2 pounds this week. Too many of Mrs. Kobe's cookies. God sightings. Yes, Debbie.
I haven't talked about my granddaughter Fern lately, but I was there the other day visiting with her. And she really amazed me, and I just thought I'd share. I had just gotten there, and I think her nurse had asked me how I was feeling. I think I said, good. And then, I don't know, she did something or whatever. I said, Fern, how do you say good? And right away, without any hesitation, she went like this, like put her fist in her hand. I said, oh, is that good? And she said, yeah. And I was like, so impressed. I was like, wow, I need to do this more often, you know, like ask her what the signs are for things, because I have no idea, but she does. And I thought, and she needs more ways to communicate. And then later on, she told me that this was please, like rubbing your hand against your body. And it's like, again, it's like, this is so cool. But anyway, that's my God signing.
All right, if the bells do well, I'll do that for you. Any other God sightings? Donna.
My God sighting is that we have a new little baby in church today, a new little Mets. So congratulations, family, on your new little addition. And it's so nice to see, you know, God's love growing in our church. Thank you. Oh, and we have a guest today that I just met. And I would like you to all say hi at the end of the service. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. And we also have a guest who has played here at Bill Bergen before, right? You were here with us a couple of years ago. Tell me your name one more time.
Marty.
Yeah, Marty's here. Yeah. She just her day off from playing the organ at her church, and so she came to ours. So we're glad that both of you are visiting with us.
Want to play the rest of the service?
Yeah, wait. So Susan and I traveled to West Virginia for a week to play music with people from all over the country. It was a great weekend because we all practice on our own at home, and then we come together and put it all together. We had a really great performance on Thursday. Drove 7 hours home yesterday. So, but it's amazing to see what can happen when people come together from all over the place. So,
God works in these wonderful ways when we're together and using the gifts that we have and communicating and loving one another is just the best thing ever. All right, thank you. Let's talk about our announcements. If you'll turn to the back of your bullets, if you'll look through them with me, start on page 20. I want to remind everybody, we're trying to expand the people who are reading and doing the prayers. We love having our youth, even have some of our young kids. If they can read and want to do that, we will work with them. Also to be acolytes and to help out with other ways. This morning, as I said, there's no faith formation, so kids are staying in church. And that will have, so next Sunday, the kids are going to be assembling the blessing bags that we carry in our cars to hand out to folks who may need them. There's a lot of stuff that's already been donated, but there are still some items that are needed. Typically, we put crackers and things that are non-perishable. We put nutrition bars. We put water and we put socks and just things that someone could use as they go through. There is a sign-up genius that you can see under the assembling bags. There may be a few items left. If you could do that and then get them here by next Sunday, either on Sunday or before, so that we can finish up those blessing bags. It's a wonderful, wonderful program. Please remember that our first organizing meeting of the St. Mark's Youth Leadership Program will happen Monday the 18th at 7 o'clock. And if you have friends who have teenagers and they don't have a place to participate in doing service and learning things together, please invite them as well. And I want to point out something on page 22. We have a special birthday coming up, a 90th birthday for Suzanne Scandone, and we're asking for her mother, Mary, we're asking for birthday cards. For her, trying to get 90 cards for her 90th birthday. So there's information there. Please get those as you can. They want to have them by June 4th. And then lastly, I want to make sure that you know what's coming up in our designer bag bingo. Yeah, I've already bought my tickets through Venmo. I'm officially the first two tickets bought. This is going to be a fact. Yeah. So, let's see. Mary is going to have paper tickets in the office for you to buy, and we'll have some for those who don't do sort of electronic stuff. We're going to put it on the web page so that you can donate there if that's the way you do things. But I know some would just rather write a check. And so Mary's going to have some paper tickets to make sure that everyone has access to those. At the bottom of page 22 and top of 23 is a prayer that I wrote, just because I thought some folks might need a Mother's Day prayer that talks about some of the difficulties of Mother's Day. And so I hope you can use that as you're able, or if you need that, in some of those situations that are not quite as easy. As we begin our meal section of our service, we will take up our offering. Our offering is mainly for the ways that we administer the church, but especially for the ways that we reach out in the ministries of care for those in need. So you can give electronically through the QR code, you can text to give, or you can give cash as you're able. I invite the ushers to come forward in just a moment to collect the offering. Bell Choir performance of Until We Come Back in the Fall. But what a beautiful job. One more time. Please rise. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses and disciples of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with the angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, almighty, and merciful God, you are most holy, and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. In the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and receiving the forgiveness of sin, may be formed to live as your holy people, and be given our inheritance with all your saints. To you, O God, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Today we will celebrate communion at the rails. The ushers will direct you forward. You'll receive the bread, and then you can have wine poured into one of the empty cups, or you can choose apple juice, which is in the middle and the lighter shade. Taste and see that the Lord is good. All are welcome.
us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. The God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ, peace be with you. Share that peace wherever you go. Amen. Or thanks be to God. God, I hope you have a good week.